Good morning, everybody. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as we resume our work here in chapter 5, I want to remind everyone that the Apostle Paul is presenting to the church at Thessalonica. Try saying that five times fast, Thessalonica. He's presenting to the church at Thessalonica a remembrance of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ has something other for us than just this life. Okay, what we fail to realize often as Christians, and I wrote a little bit about this in the bulletin this morning, and I'm not talking about us here at Grace Baptist Church. We've, over the years, had the great privilege, and I'm not saying this in any kind of, rah-rah type of look at me, I'm so good and great sort of way at all, or about Pastor Andre. But we've had the fortunality of the Spirit of God giving us the whole counsel of God. Okay, and I say the Spirit of God because we're just ministers operating under the rule of the Lord himself. Okay, so we have understood that this life that we're living right now is not all that there is. And so many Christian preachers want to place their congregations into a place where they attempt to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ in their life in hopes that God is somehow pleased by it. God is not pleased by an emulation of the life of Christ because he knew from before the foundation of the world. And by the way, when I say from before the foundation of the world, I'm talking about when there was no us here, was no earth for us to abide on, and there was no universe surrounding the earth. There was nothing. So when we were just a thought in the mind of God from all eternity, God knew exactly what we would be like. He knew exactly what would occur. Yes, he did create Adam perfectly. He was created in God's image. And so we get the false idea through the world. And when I say the world, that's the cosmos, the order of things after the fall. So it's tainted by sin and false doctrine, okay? So that's what I mean when I say the world or cosmos. Cosmos is the Greek word for world. That's what it means. The world thinks that we have some sort of God-likeness within us, okay? And so don't, when I use these two terms often, godliness and God-likeness, okay? Believers or non-believers, if you want to put them in that category also, cannot be God-like. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? No, not one, not a single person, ever, okay? Never going to be, never has been. Of course, we, you know, we read the children's Bible stories, and they're always trying to build men up within those stories, the patriarchs and the New Testament saints, that kind of thing, as these examples to live by, Jesus Christ being the chief one, okay? They're not examples to live by. Now, was Christ sinless in all that he did? Sure was. He was without spot or blemish. There was no sin in him at all, whatsoever. Okay, would that be nice if we could live that way? You bet it would. We wouldn't have all the problems we have now, you know, with our bodies, with ourselves, with each other, with the world. The world's a crazy place. You know, I was thinking about it this weekend. I was listening to a Jordan Peterson podcast. And he was speaking with one of the activist farmers in Germany. Because the World Economic Forum has gotten a hold of the European Union. And they believe that if we're going to save the world, which is an interesting thing, as if God doesn't have sovereignty over his own creation, okay? Well, they don't believe God. They don't believe God exists. God's a figment of men's imaginations to these men, okay? What have they replaced God with? Well, themselves. Is that not what man received from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You're going to be like the Godhead, okay? Are they really? No, that was a lie. That's the lie of the devil, okay? So men have supplanted God for the thoughts and desires of his own mind. And so these men, wealthy, powerful men, and by the way, wealth is not the end goal of most men that seek to better themselves in the world. It's typically power. Power is the most addictive drug there is out there, okay? Lord Acton was right. I always talk about Lord Acton. Who was he? He was the guy that made the quote, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts how? Absolutely, every single time. Okay? Because that's the nature of man. That's what's within man. That's what came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is in man is I'm going to be God, or I will be the Most High. That's the condemnation of the devil. Is that not what the devil said when he supplanted God with himself? Okay, so that's what's in man also. So if man truly believes that the world is going to become overpopulated, and because of overpopulation, the world's resources are going to be exhausted, and we're going to be left, you know, shooting one another and that kind of thing for the little the crumbs that are left. The wealthy and the powerful are trying to position themselves so they have access to what is left because they believe the world's going to end. Okay? So why do you suppose we see wealthy people saying, oh, we need to find a way of depopulating? Okay? Or regressing back into a former time where people were dying of disease and dying of starvation and that kind of thing. They want starvation to come. Because if starvation comes, there'll be less people and they can perpetuate their own existence. And then if they are responsible for the perpetuation of their own existence and the saviors of the world, then they can create their own little kleptocracy and they can be the rulers of the world and have access to whatever they want, while everybody else just starves. Has that not been the theme of tyranny ever since the way of Cain? Has mankind ever changed? Look through the annals of history. Tell me one time where mankind actually worked together and provided himself a utopian existence. When did it happen? Where is it? Is there an oasis out there somewhere where everybody's just working together and singing Kumbaya and, you know, drinking of clear and pure water and feeding each other and giving each other back massages every day and they love each other and it's hugs and kisses all around? No, there's none of that. I wouldn't want to be there anyway. Sounds weird. You know, I want to be in that my heavenly inheritance. We have a heavenly inheritance. We have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, it fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us by who? Not by man, but by God himself. Okay, by the power of God. And so when you see this, all the things that the World Economic Forum are attempting to do and other rich and powerful men in the world are trying to do, they're trying to take everything for themselves. It's not, the greater good has been the mask of tyranny for ever since there was tyranny, which is, again, day one, okay, ever since Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They mask the greater good for self-interest. And that's the way men are. And so man thinks that he's in and of himself intrinsically righteous, that there's something good within him that should be worshipped. But there's nothing good in man. In us is no good thing. There's only one that's good, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's none good but God. And so if we look at life, you know, life is an interesting thing. Why are we here? Well, if you ask Ron L. Hubbard, it was because of aliens. Everybody's got a different idea of why we're here, but the reason why we're here is for the service of the Lord. Could he have created a people for his namesake and just ushered us into heaven or his presence? That's what heaven is. Ushered us into his presence and had fellowship with us for the ceaseless ages of eternity? Well, yeah. But God could not show forth who he is in that scenario. He's the God of love, mercy, and grace. He's the God of holiness, righteousness, and justice. Okay? All these things require an act. They require a subject for those things. And so we are the subject, or the object, you could put it that way also, of his love, mercy, and grace, holiness, righteousness, and justice. All right? So life has to play out for those things to occur. And in that we see the glory of God, the love of God, and the righteousness of God. And so we rejoice in those things. And so if you want to show life, I was talking about this with my wife here a little while ago, when I was her age, I have a young wife. When I was her age, when I was in my 20s, I'm in my 40s now. Okay, there's not that big of a gap. See, in order for men, women my age have all kinds of problems. The dating pool, once you get to be 43, is quite slim. Okay, so you have to go where the good women are, I suppose. Anyway. I'm sounding worse and worse as I go on with this one, all right? Okay. But nevertheless, when you're young, it seems like time goes on forever, just drags on, right? Well, that's because you've got, you know, in the world, so to speak, you've got so much to look forward to. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. But the older you get and more established you get in the world, you kind of slip into a routine. You've got a family. You've got a career, a job, whatever have you. And you've got the things that you do habitually. You go on date night with your wife, that kind of thing. Maybe if you got a couple coins to rub together, you go on a vacation once a year, maybe, whatever, okay? But it kind of becomes routine. You sort of have the world figured out if you got a little wisdom under your belt, okay? So things don't seem like they're so new and fresh all the time. So when you're constantly looking at the future, it seems like time is going really slow. But when you're stuck in a routine and just abiding, time flies like crazy because you wish there was more time to do what you wanted to do, you know. And these are just natural things. It's all part of the flesh. And if you really want to show on paper how short life is, how many years in this age are we given 70. By God? Approximately 70 years, okay, give or take. You know, if you added up all the people that died at a younger age and added up all the people that die at an older age and took the aggregate and divided it by the amount of people, you'd have an average hovering just right around 70. I think right now in the United States of America, it's up a little bit compared to a few years back. It's like 73.5 or something like that, okay?
Where's equality go?
Equality?
Quality.
Oh, quality?
Yeah, if you get another to 80, what does it say? It's more suffering.
And oh, yeah, the older you get, the worse it gets. Yeah, your body does not improve. We have sin working in us, you know? And so, I don't want the wonder drug that's going to keep me alive to 110 years or so. I mean, unless it's... If the Lord's got for me to preach until I'm 110, He's going to give me the faculties necessary to preach until I'm 110. Is it going to be a joyous time concerning my body? Likely not. That's why I have a young wife here, so she can take care of me when I'm 110. She'll be what? 90-something?
Dreamer.
So the Lord set me up for a long ministry, hopefully. We'll see. Hopefully. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. If my ministry's over, my ministry's over. So, but nevertheless, if you want to see how short life is, take a sheet of paper and take 70 years and divide it by 7, and you'll have the amount of weeks that you live. And if you make them a whole bunch of boxes and start checking the boxes as the week goes by, it goes by awfully quick, folks. And so man strives so hard to build himself a little empire during the few weeks that he lived. Let's see, where's my phone? I don't have my phone on me. I'm not going to do the math in my head and embarrass myself here. But it's not very many weeks. But he strives so hard to build a little empire for himself during that short period of time, 70-some-odd years that he has upon the earth. For what? And we've got to ask ourselves that question. I mean, we pray for peaceable lives, and I want a peaceable life too. I don't want to have to be striving for everything that I have, okay? And as far as life is concerned, you know, we have pretty peaceable lives here in the United States, even at the poverty level. I mean, what is the poverty level in the United States? In some countries, the poverty level in the United States, in some countries, is the riches level. That's where the affluent live. So we don't have any true poverty here in the United States. I mean, you have people living in tents on the side of the freeway. By the way, I didn't see that 10 years ago. Okay, so that's a sign of the times.
$2,000 a month is about poverty.
But the poverty level in the United States, you can live on it if you want to. You can tighten down the belt and you can eat meager food and you can be healthy and it would work somehow. You may have to live with other people, that kind of thing. We do have, like I was saying, vagabonds living on the side of the road, but that's typically because of drug problems, you know. I see folks walking down the street and they're supposed to be just the disparaged that need a leg up, so to speak. But they're talking to themselves, having full-on yelling, screaming conversations with themselves. That's just a normal person that needs a leg up, right? He's definitely not on any kind of mind-altering drugs at all, is he? You know. Oh, the lies we tell ourselves, you know. Mankind. The world, the cosmos, the order of things after the fall, remember, is built upon lies. Where's the truth?
Jesus.
Where is the truth in the world? We're getting to that, John. You're one step ahead of me, buddy. Where's the truth, though? Where's the truth in education? There's not really any. The educated of the world who are trying to educate us, the teachers who are supposed to be so smart are teaching us the ways of the world, but they know nothing of the ways of God. How smart are they? Well, they're blind. Okay? The politicians of the world, how smart are they? They're blind. Okay? Everything's a lie. Everything is a lie. Where do we end up if we follow the blind? In the ditch. That's what the Lord said about the upper echelons of mankind, as it were, the teachers in Israel, the rabbis. If you follow the rabbis, you are the blind leading the blind, and you're going to end up in the ditch. What is the ditch? It's going down. The road's up here. The ditch is down here. It represents hell. It's eternal death. So where's the truth in the world? There is none. In the world, there is no good thing. The only good that there is, the only truth that there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's it. And he's revealed to us through the truth of the Word of God, and that happens through the preaching of the Word of God. That's it. So when we avail ourselves of the truth and become saved and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can know the truth even as we're known. And then we can tell it to others. That's the purpose of life. That's the purpose of life. But we get so wrapped up in, and I understand it. You know, I used to be a child of the world also. I'm still a child of the world. I still have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But I'm more led by the Lord than the world like I used to be. I used to be highly led by the world, even as a believer. And we say, oh, believers are not carnal. They're spiritual because they're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Well, is that really true? If we took a bunch of believers of varying levels of knowledge concerning the Word of God and asked them a bunch of questions about the deeper things of the Bible, are they going to understand it? No, they're not going to understand it at all. They haven't been taught yet. So they're carnal. They're operating more according to what they know naturally than what they know spiritually. Spiritually is spiritual truth concerning the things of the Lord. Young believers or believers that have not been taught, you can have somebody that's been saved for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and he can still be a babe in Christ. That ought not happen. It's a shame. He doesn't want to educate himself in the things concerning the truth, the only truth that's in the world, the only truth that's in the world. I guess ignorance is bliss. I know some. And they're struggling around, trying to make it. Some of the people I know that are believers that don't attend church are making it quite well, and they still think they're not making it enough. When is enough? When are they going to reach that point where they say, I made it? Made it where? Where are they making it? Where is it going to go when they die? Well, they're believers. They're going to heaven. But they're not availing themselves of the great blessing of the Word of God and the things that we can understand about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about us, about the past, about the present, about the future, about the way things are, the reason for the occurrences in the world. I mean, the Lord can take away everything we have in a snap. I mean, look at Amos. He was prophesying in a time where northern Israel was at its height. And that kingdom, I can't remember the name of the ruler at the time. At that time, I got to go back and look at the book of Amos. I haven't read that in probably a year and a half. I'm about due for another survey of the Old Testament. We don't preach out of the Old Testament a whole lot. We use it for reference. We're in a New Testament or a New Covenant era. Okay, Christ has already died on the cross for us. Okay, so we use the Old Testament for reference to back up the New. All right, that's proper. That's why when you look at my Bible, kind of see like this area has got all the pages falling out. That's the New Testament right there. We're in it all the time. So the high use area of the book. Pastor Andre's Bibles are like that as well. But there was no sign that the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom at the time, was going to fail under Amos, but it failed in 50 years utterly, was destroyed. So what we have now, God can take away in a heartbeat. What good are riches? Well, you want to know how many riches you have right now compared to prior to the Biden administration? You may have more dollars in your checking account or the same amount. I don't know. You know, I'm making the same amount of money I was making a few years back. Okay. Thanks to the Lord, you know, but nevertheless, what's the value of that? People don't understand what inflation is. Inflation is not inflated value of goods. Inflation is increased number of dollars in circulation. So if you have more dollars chasing fewer goods, it causes cost increases, okay? And so if you take, I read a decent article on this, I can give it to you if you're interested, by an economist. And he was saying, you know, trying to take a survey of what the value of the dollar truly is. Compared to the value of the dollar just 5 years ago, it's actually, in the average middle-class person's life, decreased by about 36%. That's insane. And inflation is not just a yearly occurrence, it's year over year. So if we have, let's say I'm going to use a round number, 10% inflation, that means the cost of things are increasing by 10% every year. So if you have a Toyota Corolla that costs $20,000 right now, in 10 years it's going to cost $200,000. Okay. So, you know, inflation is a serious, serious problem. So if you've got a static income, okay, and you're not, the amount of money you're taking in per year is not increasing with the inflationary rate, then you're going to be broke before a few years' time, okay? Or be seriously degraded in your level of living. So the Lord can take away your value, lickety-split, you know? And if you don't think that he is sovereign over his creation, well, you're kidding yourself. He raises up the basis of men to rule so that his will might be done in the world, okay? And so, and we're coming down to the end of the age, and so as I remind you of all these things, Paul is reminding the Thessalonians of the same thing. Look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. This is the hope of the believer in Jesus Christ. It isn't worldly gain. Okay, what's worldly gain going to do for you? When you get old, you can't even take advantage of it. You may be able to go out to dinner to your favorite restaurant whenever you want to and afford your medications and whatever hospitalization you might need as getting old, but you're not going to go riding your ATVs or playing baseball or out there rowing your boat, catching a steelhead or skiing down your favorite, you're not going up to Aspen to go skiing, you know, whatever you're not going to be doing that when you're old. So what's the point of all this? It's all the flesh. Vanity of vanities. What did Solomon say? All is vanity. That's what the world is. Now, I'm not being narcissistic here, or not narcissistic, but nihilistic, excuse me. There's a lot of narcissists out there. That word's in my mind all the time. I'm not being nihilistic here, okay? That's morose. That's like a being dark, negative all the time, glass half empty, so to speak. I'm not being nihilistic. I'm telling you the truth. Now, we may have a carnal increase in the world, fine, but where ought our passions lie? Upon him. Upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's committed to our trust. First of all, he said, come hear my word. Grow in grace. Tell others. Bring them to church. We're kind of living in as far as Grace Baptist Church goes, I don't know how to put this. Because at all times it's fine. The Lord called me to preach. I'm going to preach whether there's one person here or, you know, I think we can seat 76 people here, I think. Or there's 76. When I was younger, you know, a little kid, and the seating arrangement was a little bit different. I think Pastor Andre had not done a couple of the modifications he did to the sanctuary here that we see now. But I remember sitting in that cubby. I think there was a pathway through here. The pulpit area was different at the time.
Candy was back there by Bill.
Right, but this is even prior to that. There are seats in that little cutout right there. I don't know what that was when this was a house, but I'd sit back there with my cousin Ryan. That was the only seat that was left because, you know, we got here late. It wasn't my fault, but sure. The place was full. I could have walked, I suppose. You know, I was pretty young, yeah. So, but it was full, and I'm going to say this. I'm not laying blame on anyone. But a full church is a great witness. That's why I always say that if you want to witness to the truth of the Word of God, if you want to witness to the truth of the Word of God, that you believe it and you want to hear it and you love your Lord, come to church. It's not just hearing the gospel. That's our primary reason for coming to church. Yeah, grow in grace in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's right, you'll be fed. You'll be satiated. The Lord will keep you, and you'll understand his word, and he'll understand you, and you won't let the world get under your skin. And the world's got a way of getting under our skin. But if we invite our friends and family, and they see that's where we are, well, they might see that it's a priority in our lives and want to, you know, see what it's all about. The Lord can use that. But if we let the world get its hooks in us and pull us away from the truth, well, where do we stand? Do we stand with the world or we stand with the Lord? These things come with growth. I'm not laying blame or burden upon anyone. I've got plenty to say grace over. Trust me. Okay? I'm a sinner saved by grace as well. But these are the truth of things. Okay? So, we're coming down to the end of the age. Wouldn't you suppose, as a believer, it'd be nice to know what's going to occur during the latter days? Because some pretty fascinating things are going to occur pretty quickly in the latter days. And they're right around the corner. And so I want to start again in verse 1, now that I've been on my soapbox for the last half hour. Okay? But of the times and seasons, brethren, this is verse 1 of the 5th chapter, you have no need that I read it. This is chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, yeah. No problem. But the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I read unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day, or completely, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So, for us, the day of the Lord is going to come when we read it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so that's going to be, for us, a rapturous experience, so that's why we call it the rapture. All right? So, at some point in time, we're going to hear the calling of God, like we've said for the past few weeks. Those that have died before us, there's a lot of, if you get online and look at what the rapture is going to be like, a lot of theologians think that the dead in Christ, all those that have died before us, are going to be resurrected much later on through the tribulation period. No, that's not going to happen. Okay? It's very clear. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we who are alive and remain, or happen to be alive at that time, are going to be caught up with them, okay, in our resurrected bodies. So we're going to shed our clothes, likely shed our blood, clothed upon with the white raiment of the Lord, be at that point in time, forever held in life by the blood of Christ. Okay, so how are we going to function without blood in our bodies? We can certainly ask the Lord when we get there, but I guarantee you won't be concerned about it, because you're going to have a bloodless resurrected body, like the Lord's bloodless resurrected body, and it's going to be a glorious body, and you're not going to have a single problem with it. Okay, are we going to have some kind of remembrance of things upon the earth? Maybe. Probably not anything to, not probably, definitely not anything to do with sorrow, pain, or death. So, you know, when we are resurrected, are we going to have questions for the Lord? I don't know to what extent that's going to occur, but likely none. If you think about how it's going to be, you know. So we're going to be resurrected. We're going to see the Lord in the air. We will have the capacity at that time, because of our resurrected sinless nature, clothed upon with a body like the Lord's glorious body, to see him as he is. Okay? We couldn't see him as he is now. We're in a form that does not allow us to see or ascend to the Lord the way he is now. Okay? And so, at that point in time, we'll see him as he is, and we're going to be in the hands of the Lord, or the arms of the Lord, for the 7 years of great tribulation that's going to occur upon the earth. Now, the more I read about it, I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour of these things. So we look at signs of the times, okay? So like we were talking about last week, when we see the signs of the times, we read a little bit over in Matthew about it, you know, earthquakes in diverse places, pestilences, wars, rumors of wars, general turmoil in the Middle East, okay? Is not the world sort of gearing up against the nation of Israel? I've got a feeling that the nation of Israel, as it stands now, is going to utterly defeat Hamas and Hezbollah. They're gonna finish Hamas, they're gonna go to the north, and they're gonna finish Hezbollah. All right. Something might happen to Iran in the meantime, I don't know. Or at least to stay them. They're not gonna be destroyed. They're one of those nations that are gonna come against Israel during the Battle of Gog and Magog. Okay? So they may reach a point where they feel like they're able to take down their walls. Now, we may have a Trump administration that comes in. It's starting to look like that could occur. Okay? If Trump comes into this is political speculation as pertaining to the Word of God. Political speculation, okay? I don't want to be quoted for saying that something's going to happen when it's not going to happen. But this is what this is part of looking up for our redemption draweth nigh, folks, okay? Think about this. If the Trump administration were to come in, it's his last term. There's no holds barred. He's going to do whatever is necessary to bring the world back into order. And if you think Trump is a savior, okay, you've got another thing coming. All right? If someone really, now, just taking the United States of America as a standalone topic, if somebody really wanted to save the United States of America, they'd do something about the national debt. Biden doesn't care about the national debt because it would hurt him if he did, and not that he would anyway, because Democrats love spending money, okay, and all they want is power. Trump certainly isn't going to take care of the national debt because he wants to be known as the greatest president that ever lived. Trump is in the presidency. Yes, I believe he believes in the American way. I believe that he wants to bring things back to a stasis point, okay? I think he has good values in that respect. But don't think for a second that he ain't doing it for himself, okay? Now, that's why I always say, Paul, you know, if you listen to the Dan Bongino show, you'll understand this. Don't love politicians, because they don't love you. They hate you, okay? They're tools. They're like a hammer. If the hammer is rounded or not working right and not pounding the nails in properly, what do? You get a better hammer, okay? If it pounds the nail in for you, if it does the job, then good. Praise the hammer. Good job, hammer, you know? That's what politicians should be. If they get in there and do something, if they move the political football down the field in your direction, okay, then good boy, good job. I'll vote for you again. All right? That's all they should be. That's it. Because politicians hate you. All they want is money and power. That's all they want. Because what are they? They happen to be men. Okay? The Lord raises up the basest of men to rule. And there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not in the world. So are any politicians a savior? No, not in any sense of the word whatsoever. It's so funny how men will look at for, not you, but people in the world will look for saviors in all the places where there's never going to be a savior. But they won't look in a book that they can buy for $4.99 down at their local Christian store or Amazon.com or whatever. Or how about this? Walk into a church for free that preaches the gospel. Okay? Yeah, if you want to take advantage of the Gideons. And they all know that the Bibles are being stolen. So actually, the Gideons is a very self-righteous organization. They go, we're providing Bibles to the world. And the Gideons believe that they're going to be the ones that educate the 144,000 saints during the Great Tribulation period. But they don't understand how that's going to work. Okay? There's not going to be, the elect is going to be taken out of the way during the Tribulation period. Okay? There's not going to be any, we read this in the Bible, there's going to be no believers around that know the truth to point out the Antichrist and the false prophet. None. And if there were, the Antichrist is going to perform miracles so convincing that it would deceive the very elect if we were here. Like I was talking about last week. I don't know if that's going to be by miraculous means. He's the prince of the power of the air, maybe, or by technological means. But if we were here, we would be deceived by it too, thinking, wow, this guy's actually performing miracles. Because we don't have the discerning mind of God. We have the word of God. We're going to be taken out of the way. The 144,000 saints were likely, and I'm going to say this with almost 100% certainty, the first fruits of the resurrection that took place when our Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And it was when all the people in the graves below Golgotha crawled out of the graves and were seen walking alive in the streets of Jerusalem. Okay? 12,000 out of each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. 144,000 saints. Okay? They've been with the Lord all this time throughout the church age, being educated in the Word of God to be mature, highly capable preachers. They're going to come back during the Great Tribulation period, and they're going to preach upon the mountains of Israel. Okay? And why do you suppose the world's going to want to come against Israel during that time? To destroy what the world is going to say, these jerks, I could use stronger words for it because the world's going to call them that, that are preaching against their God, the Antichrist, that's going to make himself evident. Okay? And that's why when the two false prophets, what the world's going to believe are false prophets, but they're not, the two prophets of the Lord, Enoch and Elijah, okay, the two witnesses, they're going to be killed in the streets, and the whole world's going to celebrate it. They're going to see it, and they're going to actually see the two witnesses rise from the dead off of the ground. Why? Because the Lord will not be destroyed. Okay? So, but in the beginning of the Great Tribulation period, or possibly before the Great Tribulation period, we may see the Battle of Gog and Magog. All right? Now, I don't know the exact time, okay? But it looks like it could be before, or it could be directly at the beginning. But those things are coming up very soon. All right? So what I was saying about Israel, if Israel destroys Hamas and destroys Hezbollah, and the Trump administration comes in and pushes forward the Abraham Accords, and we get most of the Muslim nations of the Middle East on board, because trust me, the Abraham Accords are very good financially for them, okay? They're willing to probably take a hit as far as their on-paper stance towards Israel goes for financial gain. Okay, that's what the Abraham Accords are. Doesn't mean they like the nation of Israel. They're Muslim. They don't. Okay, they hate Jews. All right, Ishmael. Okay, his hand against every man, every man's hand against his. Never going to change until he's destroyed. Okay, look at Obadiah. It's going to occur. All right. So if that comes about and we have a better living standards for the nation of Israel, and it appears as though there's safety, one of the requirements of the Accords might be that they have to take down some walls as a show of good faith. I don't know. But as we see time go forward, more things happen, we gain more information. This could occur, which might make them feel like they're dwelling safely, finally. Okay, we're going to have peace. Not through a two-state solution or anything like that. I don't know what's going to happen to the Palestinians, whether some other country is going to absorb them or not. But I've got a feeling that the nation of Israel is going to run them out of town. But we'll see, okay? Now, if that occurs, then Gog and Magog, the Battle of Gog and Magog, might occur directly after that. Now, it may be after the coming of the Antichrist, who may establish peace in the nation of Israel, because he's going to establish peace generally. The world's going to think they have their ruler. But either way, that battle's going to occur towards the beginning part of the Great Tribulation period, okay? Then halfway through the Tribulation period, we're going to have the desolation that occurs that we see spoken of. Well, we can read the verse here. I'm going to quote a verse that I'm going to read next here. I might as well read it. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, that's Israel, because they're not saying peace and safety now, but they're going to, okay? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. So birth, the birth is going to occur. We're seeing the birth pangs in the world now, all these wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, pestilences, the great falling away from the truth of the word of God has occurred. All these things are happening. So birth pangs, signs of the times, and then we're going to see the pregnancy come to deliverance in illustration, in type. Okay? Sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Halfway through the midpoint of the Great Tribulation period, times are going to be so terrible that they're going to be... Now think of the atrocities of World War I, World War II, all the other wars that have occurred. There has been times upon earth, Israel included, where they were embattled so poorly, so badly, that they decided to eat their own children to survive. Don't worry, kids. Auden's got big eyes right now. I might eat you. Your mom might not. Nora's got more meat on her bones, though. She might be a little more tasty. She got some hammies. Okay? So there's been some pretty rough times upon the earth. You think you got it bad now? Don't get me started. The blue hairs whining about their sexual preferences. Give me a break. For God's sake. Okay, wait for a nice war to break out. Who's going to care about your sex change then? Nobody. They're going to shoot you in the face. Like, it's like, come on, guys. Like, what's... We've got too much free time. The idle hands are truly the devil's workshop. They are. We've got too much time on our hands here. But that's the way the Babylon in the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation is supposed to be. We are probably that Babylon. Okay, metaphorically speaking. All right. So, there's going to be times in the on the earth that are... like the world has never seen, and it's described, I think, over in Amos. I could be wrong about that. Might be Hosea. I'll have to look it up. Where it's like you're running from a lion. It's either a lion or a bear first. I think it's a lion first. You're running from a lion, and you escape from the lion, and there's a bear. And then you're running from a bear and you go into a house and you close the door. Oh my gosh, I got away from that bear. And there's a viper on the wall that bites you on the wrist. You know, you can't escape from the hell. Okay? And also, the Lord's going to cause, now this may be through the fact that the temperature on the earth, the actual physical temperature is going to be so hot that men are going to chew their own tongues for the heat. Okay? And so 1/3 of all the animal and fish and bird life is going to be destroyed. 1/3 of all the vegetation on the earth is going to be destroyed. All these things that the environmental movement has been pushing for so hard because we got to save the world, which really means save it for the kleptocracy that's going to be left after the destruction. I mean, you got guys like, who's the guy that owns Facebook? Mark Zuckerberg building a, I think, $500 or $600 million bunker in Hawaii underground. It's like the size of a small hotel. Why is he doing that? Why? So he can hang there until everything settles down, and then he can be part of the kleptocracy when he comes out. You don't suppose these guys are making some backroom handshake deals about this stuff right now? Sure they are. Yeah, what? Wouldn't you? If you had their mind, yeah, you would. You know. So all these things are going to occur, okay? Then we're going to have at some point in time this is going to be right at the end point of the tribulation period, where all the nations are going to come against Israel, okay? And the Lord's going to wage what we call in Scripture Armageddon, okay? And I believe it's not Mount Moriah. I need to go back and read this a little bit more, I think. It might be Mount Moriah. Not Mount Moriah. That's where the temple is. No, it doesn't matter. One of the mounts over there is going to be cloven in two, okay? But it's going to be from the east to the west, so there's going to be a great valley there, and there's going to be a war, and the blood's going to run so deep, it's going to go to the bridles of the horses. You know? So then shall we have then we're going to have the millennial reign of Christ upon the earth, okay? And during the millennial reign of Christ upon the earth, we're going to have all the sheep nations and the goat nations, and the sheep nations shall be separated from the goat nations, and the sheep nations are going to receive a righteous man's reward, and the goat nations are going to be cast into hell. And so during the Great Tribulation period, we're going to have non-believing nations of people. I don't know how large they're going to be. That's going to be up to the Lord when it occurs. That aren't believers, but they're going to be brought into the millennial reign of Christ. And their sin natures are going to be deactivated because Satan's going to be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Okay, he's not going to be able to ply his trade upon the earth. So the nature, the tree of the knowledge, the effects of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are not going to be active within these men for that time. They're going to be like we are, yet they're not going to be in the camp of the saints because they're not God's beloved. We are. Okay? They haven't been saved by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has not cleansed them from all sin. Their sin natures have just been deactivated. Okay? They're going to be reactivated after the devil, Satan, is going to be loosed for a little season. And then at that point in time, they're going to come against the camp of the saints, and the Lord's going to rain down fire from heaven and speak the earth out of existence, and then speak a new heaven and new earth into existence. All these things are going to occur. They call us crazy for this. But that's why at the great white throne judgment, the men that, you know, because we're not going before the great white throne judgment. We're going to be going before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things done in the body. They're going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and bow the knee, but it's going to be too late. So there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They could have, because how many sins did Christ die for? The sins of the whole world. We preach a gospel of peace and unity, not separation. So he says here, but ye brethren are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of what? Light. We're children of the truth. What does it say in 1 John 1, or in John chapter 1? Jesus Christ is the light, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the world is in darkness, they don't understand the truth, they're blind to it, they have got that veil before their eyes, and they're not going to believe until the veil is removed through the teaching and preaching of the gospel. It has been removed for us. We see the light, we've been made new creations in Christ Jesus, and so we understand who our Lord and Savior is and who we belong to. So we serve him. Okay. We're children of the day. You are not in the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us, what that means, be slack concerning what the Lord committed to our trust, as do others. But let us watch and be vigilant. That's what sober means here. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken. Drunkenness speaks of sin and false doctrine, mainly false doctrine, but it does speak of sin sometimes, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of what?
Salvation.
It keeps us in the hands of the Lord. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the salvation that we've obtained in Jesus Christ. We ask that you keep us faithful to that which you've committed to our trust, that the word of God might continue to be preached from not only here, but the missionaries that we support. We support them financially and in word and in prayer. And we ask that the brethren within our congregation understand that and support it. And we ask that they witness their friends and families and acquaintances, that they might also come and hear the truth of the word of God as well, that they also might be saved. We ask that you empower all these things according to your will. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.